She is one of the officers of IPPNW as well. And Maria Valenti is the head of the IPPNW program called Aiming for Prevention. And I'm maybe from given a personal anecdote. When I visited Africa for behalf of IPPNW and visited Nairobi, I was asked by students, "We're very concerned, as you tell us, about the dangers of nuclear war, but you know we've got a lot of problems now in Kenya." And he said, "I have to ask you why you don't talk about personal violence and machetes and the tools of personal violence." And so Maria Valenti has filled in this gap in IPPNW work and leads a program which has got countries in Africa particularly, but also in the United States and other countries of the world, to work on the issues of gun violence, and has done that in the United Nations and in other arenas. It's a privilege to introduce Maria Valenti.
Thanks, Vic, and thank you for the many years of responding to the calls to action at the UN. Whenever I've called upon Vic to be on a panel or to come and have a meeting, he's always been there. He's hosted many young physicians and medical students. He and his wife, Ruth, hosted them in their home in New York from around the world. So very privileged to be here, to have been introduced by him and Barry, and also thanks to Patrice Sutton and Bob Gould, who have been leading the Peace Caucus. And I'm going to apologize ahead of time in case I start coughing. I have a bit of a cough here, so just bear with me. So I'm here today to talk to you about the International Arms Trade Treaty, a really exciting process that I've been involved with for the last number of years in trying to pass at the UN. and I'm going to explain why it is that it's been an important priority for IPPNW and other health organizations. So let me start with sort of the spoiler alert. We actually had an arms trade treaty passed on April 2nd at the United Nations General Assembly. It was overwhelmingly adopted, in a vote of 154-3 with 23 abstentions. Several IPPNW members from Nigeria were in attendance and were texting us as it was happening. I was not there. While many of us watched it on UN TV, waiting anxiously as the votes were cast. Because it was a long road to get there, filled with thousands of hours by diplomats and civil society, we had been disappointed in the past just when we thought victory was in our grasp, so we we were anxiously awaiting that vote. This was a previous date in March 2013 at what was supposed to be the final diplomatic conference, when at 8 o'clock at night we were all at the UN, and these are three young physicians that were just about ready to tweet the good news that the arms trade treaty was passed when it was blocked by North Korea, Iran, and Syria. You can see there's Shannon from the US in the front, Vera from Austria in the middle, and Amika from Nigeria, and they weren't sending messages to their friends. They were actually about ready to say, "Yes, we finally did it." And these are three young physicians that were there of their own accord, volunteering their time to meet with the diplomats and to participate in the Control Arms Coalition, which is the NGO civil society coalition that's been working on this for many years. Excuse me. So I just wanted to go back and talk about why the ATT has been such an important to us as a public health imperative. So violence, as I'm sure many of you know, has not always been considered a health issue. It really wasn't until 1979 and the U.S. Surgeon General's report on healthy people identified stress and violent behavior as among the key priorities for public health, and emphasizing that the health community cannot ignore the consequences of violent behavior in efforts to improve health. And then in 1996, at the 49th World Health Assembly, the WHO declared that violence is a leading worldwide public health problem, and that public health professionals have a lot to contribute to solving that. So this is a slide from the World Health Organization showing why violence is bad for an individual victim's health as well as the health of the community, and along with the multiple direct consequences of violence, we know there are many indirect consequences. Especially armed violence in a community creates a culture of violence that diverts funds from other public health issues, leads to internally displaced people. We've heard about the refugee camps, slows development and encourages human rights violations, et cetera. All of these things we were attempting to address within the framework of the ATT. Armed violence also prevents the humanitarian assistance from reaching those refugee camps that were talked about earlier and hinders the development, the achievement of the Millennium Development Goals. So why is IVP&W focusing primarily on firearms and not just violence in general? We are focusing on violence in general, but firearms, because they're violence multipliers and they increase the lethality of violence, they allow the assailants to attack from a distance, wound or kill in an instant, as opposed to, you know, using a club or a knife or something like that. And believe it or not, there are more than 900 million small arms in circulation today. And according to the World Health Organization, and these numbers are a little bit fungible, the numbers of people killed and wounded by firearms alone goes up and down, but at the very least, hundreds of thousands are killed every year, and millions more are maimed and traumatized, often for life, from armed violence. And many of the IPPNW physicians and medical students who have been involved in working on the Arms Trade Treaty have themselves been victims of violence. One of our young physicians from El Salvador was mugged at gunpoint and had things stolen. Another one in Nigeria, a similar situation. Very traumatizing experiences for them. Our co-president, Bob Matanga, talks about having his driver shot and traumatized and unable to come back to work, unable to sleep at night. So these are daily occurrences in people's lives around the world. And many of the young physicians in the U.S. who I've worked with on gun violence are the ones that are working in the emergency rooms and seeing the gun violence. So UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon has been a big supporter of arms control, international arms control. He spoke at an event that we had and talked about how the world is overarmed and peace is underfunded. The annual arms trade is $70 billion, and it's staggering, and it's a shadowy world. I would encourage you all to read Andrew Feinstein's The Shadow World. He was a keynote speaker at our Human Target conference that we held recently in Germany, and he related some just chilling stories of the underhanded dealings around the world that fuel the deadly global arms trade. And yet, up until now, despite the fact that there are international regulations for everything from computers to bananas, there have been no international regulations to control the arms trade, which has just been absolutely shocking. Armed violence is a health and financial problem worldwide. One of the things that IPPNW has worked on are the development of these one-bullet stories, which brings the human face of gun violence into the diplomatic debate, which can often be sort of made very abstract by lots of numbers. So, for example, in Nepal, the cost of a hospital stay for this young girl who was caught in the crossfire of bullets as an innocent victim just on the sidelines, included surgery and transport for between the hospitals, et cetera, was $2,000 in the U.S. And that could have that could have equipped a health clinic in her village, and it was 3.5 years of her father's salary. And in Ecuador and El Salvador and Africa, around the world, the stories are the same. And let's not forget the U.S., where in 2010, over 11,000 people were murdered by gun violence, over 19,000 committed suicide with a gun, and nearly 200,000 gun-related assaults were committed. So what to do about that? We decided we needed to move on and try and work on an international arms trade. In 1997, President Oscar Arias of Costa Rica convened a group of Nobel Peace laureates, eight Nobel Peace laureates, including IPPNW in New York, to call for an international code of conduct on the arms trade. Here you see the Dalai Lama signing that call. And the international code of conduct basically said, we come from different nations with varied histories, and we've been honored with Nobel Peace Prizes. Today we speak as one voice to call for an international code of conduct on the arms transfers, which, once adopted by all arms-selling nations, will benefit all humanity. moving that ahead, in 2002, WHO published its World Report on Violence and Health, and among its 9 priority recommendations was to seek practical, internationally agreed responses to the global drugs trade and the global arms trade. So that was another underpinning for this. APHA, many people know, certainly the Peace Caucus does, 32 resolutions on arms and war over the years. Most recently, the role of public health practitioners in relation to armed conflict and war, and calling for engaging public health professionals in advocacy. And the same for the International Committee of the Red Cross. Many of its national societies have been vocal and active advocates of a robust humanitarian-based ATT. So although the International Coalition on an ATT is comprised primarily of other civil society organizations, it's really been a public health imperative for IPPNW and other health organizations as well. And UN Office of Disarmament Affairs has talked about how, as I mentioned before, the arms trade hinders delivery of international assistance. So the ATT calls on member states of the UN to deliver a strong and humanitarian-based ATT to help save lives. Control Arms Coalition has been in the middle of that effort. It was originally addressed in 2006 at the UN, and we have been involved in that effort ever since. Health experts have been speaking out on panels, lobbying with diplomats, meeting with ministers of foreign affairs, talking about the health consequences and telling stories from the front lines about the victims of violence. We organized a petition, an international petition signed by over 1,700 health professionals in 58 countries, which was delivered by IPPNW, young physician from Nigeria, Ogebe Anazi, a friend of mine, to Secretary General Ban Ki-moon at a very high-level event. This was so exciting event for his life, and and the UN Secretary General praised him and other health professionals for being involved in this effort and how important that has been. And here's PSR's Executive Director, Catherine Thomason, delivered another letter from Nobel laureates last year to President Obama, urging him to support the ATT. And again, on April 2nd, it was adopted finally by the UN General Assembly. So we are, thank you, pleased about that. And it is the first treaty to regulate international trade in conventional arms for the purpose of reducing human suffering. And it prohibits arms transfers where they would be used to perfetrate war crimes, genocide, attacks against civilians, facilitate violations of human rights, terrorism, et cetera. And to our great happiness, I guess I would use that word happiness, the U.S. Secretary Kerry signed the ATT in September. It has not been ratified in the U.S., and there's a huge movement to oppose ratification, but we did sign it, and to us that was a huge victory. But it will take 50 states to ratify it before it enters into force, and at present we have 114 states that have signed it and only 8 that have ratified it. But we feel like we're well on the way to that. So I would urge everybody here to get involved in the effort. We're going to be working in all of the countries to ratify the ATT. Join the rest of us. We have a good time as well as feel like we're doing good work. And if you have any questions about how you can help make a difference on this, please do contact me and be happy to work with you. So thanks for your attention on this, and hopefully you can support the ATT process. I have a guide that's on the table in the back. It's a health professional's guide to the ATT. Gives some really simple ways that you can get involved in helping to urge your countries to ratify this important international instrument. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Catherine. And if you have a moment in the next 5-20 minutes, say to Maria Valenti, congratulations on the extraordinary work you've done with regard to the Arms Trade Treaty.